This program was produced at and first aired on MPR, Manawatu People's Radio, with support from New Zealand On Air. Ka pai, Irirangi Tamotu, MPR. If you're enjoying this podcast in Manawatu, you could make your very own, just like this one. MPR exists to help people like you tell your story or share your passion on air and online. Check out mpr.nz for more information.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome here to another fabulous Tuesday morning on Manawatu's People Radio, 999 AM, the voice of your community. That's right, you're here with the team from Flatting Today. I'm Cam.
And I'm Daniel.
Brilliant. We're also the dynamic, I'm going to call us the dynamic duo from the Tenants Union in Palmerston North. Where are the Tenants Union located, Daniel?
So you can come see our office if you happen to be in the area. It's 77 King Street in Hancock Community House. Otherwise, a phone call always works well on 06 35 77 435, or an email, info@tenantsunion.org.nz. And if you happen to be outside of Palmerston North, we've got a nice shiny 0800 number for 0800 250 0022.
Just to clarify, the 0800 number is free for the person who is calling.
Yes.
Or making the call. So, right, so on today's show, Daniel, we're going to talk about a government bill. The government of the day has passed a bill, or has a bill going through parliamentary process that we have submitted on in to say that it is a very horrible bill.
And I mean, they've got quite a few horrible ones going on at the moment.
But it is the Summary Offences Move On Orders Amendment Bill. It's a government bill. And so I'm just going to read out the explanatory note here. It says the Summary Offence Move On Orders Amendment Bill, the bill, contributes to the government's commitment to restoring law and order to keep New Zealand. New Zealand is safe by ensuring that the New Zealand police has the necessary powers to maintain public order. The government is concerned that people are congregating in city centres, especially around retail and hospitality premises, and engaging in behaviour that is disorderly and in some cases criminal. The behaviour can have negative social economic impact, including affecting people's enjoyment of public spaces, causing fear and harm in communities, and undermining public confidence in law and order. The bill aims to ensure that police is adequately equipped to address public disorder and issue increase the public sense of safety and support urban centres and economies. The bill provides new powers to enable police to ensure move-on orders to manage low-level disorderly behaviour and to prevent escalations. The bill introduces a new power for the police to move on orders requiring people who are engaging in disorderly disruptive behaviour in public places to leave areas and not return for a specific period of time. Enables police to move to issue move-on orders for behaviour of disorderly, intimidating, threatening, disruptive, unreasonably obstructing entrance to trade businesses, place, begging, rough sleeping, and activities indicating an intent to inhabit a public place. And it's going to apply to people 14 years and older for a specific period of time, not longer than 24 hours. So if you're over 14 and you've been there for no longer than 24 hours, for behaviour that is below the threshold for criminality or for low-level criminal behaviour that relates to public disorder. I just want to touch on this, begging, rough sleeping.
I mean, that's kind of what we're going to be talking about for the most part today, because that's the bit that's of the most interest to us. I mean, generally, it sounds sort of like, preventing disorderly behaviour and that sort of thing. Well, that sounds all right. And then it pulls out homelessness. So, well, there's not really a choice that people make.
Yes. And so just to clarify, you know, it creates new offences for failing or refusing to remain at the place where the person is detained or failing to refuse to provide biological details. So if you fail to identify who you are to the police, you'll be fined. And knowingly or recklessly and without reasonable excuse, failing to refuse to comply with a move-on order with a maximum penalty of 3 months imprisonment or a fine of not exceeding $2,000. So if you continue to break move-on orders, you could be fined $2,000 or arrested and put in jail for 3 months.
Yep. And, you know, all of the disorderly behaviour stuff, that's already covered under other legislation. It's mostly this one adding on the whole begging and rough sleeping side.
Yes. But I just, you know, wanted to go and just touch on what I read earlier, which I thought was the oxymoron, is that the government are concerned that, you know, that people are congregating in city centres, especially around retail and hospitality premises. Isn't that what we want people to do, is like to be in hospitality premises?
I know, certainly. Yep, they want the ones who can pay well for it, of course.
Yeah, so it says here, in the thing here, it says new section. Section 8A provides that a constable, being a police officer, can issue a move-on order to a person aged 14 years or older who is in a public place if the constable has reasonable grounds to suspect that that person is engaging or has recently engaged in any of the following behaviours: behaving in a way that is disorderly, intimidating or threatening, behaving in a disruptive manner, unreasonably extracting, hindering or preventing someone from entering or leaving a place where lawful trade businesses and occupations, etc., breaching the peace, begging, rough sleeping or setting up personal possessions, makeshift shelters or other structures indicating an intent to inhabit a public place. Mm-hmm. Which I find, rather interesting, because you could have the things for breaching the peace and any behaviour that was disruptive or disorderly to start with.
Yeah, that already exists in legislation. And this is, again, adding on just the bit on homelessness and, you know, doing a little bit more around the edges, which is all perfectly fine. I mean, disorderly behaviour, we still want to think about and ensure that it's not exactly happening, because we all live in a society, after all. We all want to be able to contribute. But yes, it's the forcing people who have no option because, you know, they don't have enough money to survive, so they need to get food somehow, and they don't have a place to live because it's all too expensive.
And I can appreciate it, because I have had a lot of concerns within the Palmerston North area, and I've certainly outspoken on that, because often people can misinterpret people begging for money as people being homeless. And I can inherently understand how the two can be correlated and misinterpreted. But, you know, not all rough sleeping people that are begging, and yes, not all beggars are rough sleepers. And I think that's the fundamental thing. I happen to know that quite a few of our city council did a study on it, mm-hmm, they went and spoke to some of the beggars, and a lot of the beggars in our city actually had homes and places to go to.
Oh, yes. Yeah, that they do. We found that out when we did our own little survey as well.
So I can appreciate that, because there is something quite intimidating about going to the ATM to withdraw cash and then there's someone sitting 2 metres away begging you for any loose change. I mean, I had it just this morning, mm-hmm, going to the bakery, about to hop into my car after buying my sandwich, and someone comes up and is like, got any spare change? And I'm just like, you know, and at 7:30 in the morning when it's low light, that can be quite intimidating, mm-hmm, for certain people. And I can appreciate, you know, in that regards, we need to address that, but it's just this rough sleeping. However, they have defined begging means an active or a passive request or demand for a donation of money, food, or other goods, hence transactions where goods and services are exchanged for money or vice versa are excluded from the ambit of the move-on orders. The definition for begging is also excludes charitable non-for-profit fundraising on the behalf of an organisation.
So, yeah, you know, you can still do busking and that sort of thing.
Yes.
Yes, it's the... There are going to be better ways to go about this than telling someone, like, hey, you have to leave for a full day. You can't come back, or we're going to hit you with a $2,000 fine or shove you in jail. Because if nothing else, they're often in these situations because they don't have options. So it's not as though they could pay a $2,000 fine or even a $100 fine.
Yes. So it does also exclude if you're freedom camping or if you're protesting. So it does, there is, that makes sense. And it's, yeah, it can be for to remain a specific distance away from a place as well, which I think is good.
There was a note that I saw in some of the discussion around it, which is the if you happen to be outside, say, a supermarket and or a social service that provides food and you get given a move-on orders, you need to go back there to get your food to continue to survive. So preventing someone from doing that is limiting their movements that they need to be able to make. So there is a bit of the how maybe there's better ways to do it, which I'm pretty sure there are.
So it says here, new section ATF provides that in that it is an offence for a person who has been served with a move-on order to knowingly and recklessly and without reasonable excuse fail or refuse to comply with the order immediately or within a reasonable time. Penalty of the offence is either imprisonment for a term not exceeding 3 months or a fine not exceeding $2,000. So my challenge here is those who are generally rough sleeping aren't going to have any money to start.
Yeah.
So we're either going to have to start arresting them and putting them in jail, or they're just going to start accumulating fines that they have no means or way of paying for them, which I find in itself is, you know, very horrid.
Yep.
Idea.
I mean, the other also particularly unhelpful possibility that we don't want is, you know, you get your move-on order, you go somewhere else, you get it again, and you go somewhere else, and you keep on getting it until you finally get to the spot where nobody cares.
Yes.
And that just becomes increasingly unsafe. And, you know, if you are in a group and feeling unsafe outside of legal processes, the groups that you probably turn to more often who can provide protection in an unsafe area would be the gangs.
Yes.
Because they can provide shelter, security, and, you know, all the things that you've just been kicked out of.
And it even goes further here, right? Because under Section 39(1), which must be a further part of the Act or the Crimes Act, of the Principal Act, a constable may arrest without warrant a person the constable suspects has committed an offence under the new section. So you don't have to prove that they've done it. They just suspect that you have. And I'm like, that's very, in my mind, very loosey-goosey powers.
Yep. Do you look like you might be homeless and maybe moving along? Well, here you come. Or you look like you might have been begging at some point.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I find it needlessly absurd because I'm honestly kind of taken by this because I don't see it solving any problem. In fact, I actually will almost guarantee that this is going to create more barriers for those who we are trying to reach out to get into housing or need to access housing supports. Because obviously if you go to prison, well, too bad, you're not going to be able to get a property when you're out of prison because, oh, you've got a criminal record. Or you're paying fines back at $30, $40 a week out of your benefit, which then severely limits your ability to pay income.
Oh, yes, very much so. And just as a comment that I made sure to put in our submission, people are ending up in these situations because they can't afford the rent or other utilities and services. The current plans on increasing all of the social housing rents by another 5% is probably not going to help matters.
No, but it does. They have kind of been very specific here, like begging means requesting or demanding a donation of money, food or other goods through speech or other conduct, for example, holding a sign.
Yeah, so if you're quiet and you're not talking to anyone, it still counts.
I appreciate someone sitting there holding a sign, not talking to anyone, is that whole being thing. But I'm like, they're not being disruptive. They're not disturbing the peace, because disturbing the peace is about yelling and all that sort of carry on. So if they're, you know, tucked down the road, down a corner between two buildings that actually isn't disrupting anybody, I don't see any problem with that.
It's one of those, they shouldn't need to be there to start
No, it's yeah, and so it just seems to be very, very perplexing, because you're relying on, from what I can see, there's no real way to determine what is disturbing the peace, or if I was to complain that someone is there disturbing the peace, then it's the individual who's making the complaint's interpretation of what is deemed as to be harassing.
Yep.
Right? Mm-hmm. And to be honest, I sit there and go, resting the people for being homeless or begging just seems far more wasteful time when our police force could be doing, reprioritizing their time on different things.
Oh, yes. It costs a lot more to put someone in prison and to chase up fines than it is to just put them in a house. And it's one of those, I mean, it ties back to housing first. The social benefit that you can get for every dollar invested in just putting someone in a home is 2 to 4 times the investment that you do. Putting someone in prison, it doesn't actually have any social benefit. It puts them in a cupboard out of the way.
Yes.
But it also puts them, again, in situations where you're connecting with other people who can be of an increasingly criminal bent. And when you're shoved there through no fault of your own, it doesn't exactly feel all that great being rejected from the rest of society.
Well, no.
While you have, again, the, like, hey, this person is in a gang and they can lead you out into safer spaces.
And I'm yet to see where they've defined what rough sleeping is either. We've defined begging, but they haven't defined rough sleeping.
Oh, yeah, just sleeping outside, I suspect they're going for. But it's also up to the constable to determine.
Because, you know, like I appreciate, and it came up in a conversation I had earlier in the week, right, is that, you know, you know, if you had a tent and you're in a campground, for someone who likes camping but doesn't like to sleep in the tent, that to me is rough sleeping, right? But for some people, we have some people in some areas of our region that absolutely pitch a tent, sleep by the riverbank, love that whole sleeping rough lifestyle. But it's not, in their world, sleeping rough. But if you know, to some, that would warrant rough sleeping in order to move on. It's part of the move on orders.
Yep, and you could just be out camping. I mean, before this legislation came through, my sister particularly enjoys going off and camping and all that sort of thing, and she was kicked off from a space that they were perfectly legally allowed to be staying on, because somebody decided that they shouldn't be there.
Yes. And this is the thing, right? You're asking people to prove all their details, right? Which is, you know, if you're detained under the law, you're required to prove your identity. But the people that are going to be probably using this rough sleeping and begging legislation, or who they're going to be needing it for, are 9 times out of 10, from certainly what I've seen and helped out, these are people who won't have ID. They won't have any form of being able to verify who they are. It's just, it really doesn't sit well. And I think my concern is that somewhere in the government, somewhere, somehow, some person has indicated that this is a problem somewhere, but it's not really a problem.
Yeah, I mean, we, again, looking at the information provided for the justifications, police records show that disorderly behaviour is going down. It's just generally improving. Councils have indicated that homelessness problems have been declining somewhat, although anecdotally we're still getting that it is getting worse in different ways. So it's a case of like, hey, if disorderly behavior is actually getting less bad anyway, and the government is convinced that their efforts to reduce homelessness are working, then doesn't that make this pointless?
Absolutely. It's just really, it's just such an obscure way of trying to deal with a problem that I don't think exists.
And, you know, doing it this way by putting people aside and displacing them is definitely not solving any problem.
No.
Because, you know, recognize, hey, people being homeless, yes, that is a problem that we need to sort. Sticking them in a corner and pretending they're not there doesn't solve anything.
Well, this is the thing, and I am concerned that you're effectively, what you're doing is, right, as you summarise it, right, is that it only is going to work until you get to the point where that's where you start moving them on from, and then you have basically created a slum in order for them to stay there.
Yep.
Because then if everyone goes, we won't be moved on from here or this park or this place, that is where they will congregate to.
Yep. I think it was in the US I saw it. Yeah. People who were homeless kept on getting moved on, and so they made themselves a fortified bunker at an old abandoned car park.
Yes. And my challenge is this, if the begging is part of the problem, then maybe we need legislation for that part.
Or providing people enough money that they don't need to beg.
Yes. because funny thing is that in New York, when we were there, they do have the odd beggars, but it's actually the state or the city passed a city ordinance or law by law that says that yes, these people might be begging, but if you are caught giving them money, you will be fined. Mm-hmm. Because what happens is that, you know, it's people are seeing begging as an option because everyone keeps giving them money. Mm-hmm. If we stop giving them money, they're less likely to beg.
That's definitely one way of going about it.
So there are two ways. They did their whole thing, stop the begging, but they also go along and go, okay, well, if by chance you are begging and we can't get to you, then if we do catch the person who is giving you the money, they will also be fined as well. Mm-hmm. And it's an interesting trade-off there.
Yep. I mean, a certificate option is probably not one I would recommend still, but, but yeah.
Yeah, and that's the thing. You know, how many of these beggars are going to suddenly start having a guitar and they're going to say they're busking? They're not begging, they're busking.
Oh, yes. And
I think
perfectly legitimate.
I think we all get creative.
Yeah, yep. And to get this still, so many better solutions. But if we have to find a loophole to make it all work, then.
Yeah. And because you could argue that rough sleep, like freedom camping. Oh, I'm not, which is given in Section 5 of the Freedom Camping Act, so I didn't realise there was a Freedom Camping Act.
There's specific areas that you're allowed to do it, or specific areas that we're not allowed to do it, I suppose would be the better way to put it. And you have to have, make sure your toileting system's good and self-contained, yeah.
Right, because, I mean, that's the thing, right? You're also going to go, it's not, I think the whole rough sleeping thing, I mean, what if you're rough sleeping in your car? We're going to start doing move-on orders for people in their cars from car parks and parking lots and...
That's what is happening in Australia. They've got some move-on orders and police are going around and talking to people in their cars and saying, hey, move on. And they say, where can we go? Police say, I don't know.
it's absurd because, for some people, sleeping in their car or their van is not rough sleeping. Mm-hmm. Like the issue is they're sleeping in their car, they just need somewhere to park up for the night. I don't see that as a public disturbance unless you suddenly are paying your boombox at 3 o'clock in the morning in the car park randomly. But, you know, if you're out in the country, no one's going to hear that. I don't see it to be an issue. Well, it shouldn't be an issue, but apparently for the Honourable Paul Goldsmith, who is the sponsor of this bill, it is. So I encourage everybody to make a submission. We're saying should be against it, but the The parliamentary process allows people to submit on before or against it. So I take the head on of the political neutral and say, whether you do or don't agree with it, at least make a submission. It is open. Yes. How do people make a submission on something like this?
So this one is jumping on to the Parliament website. I think it's at parliament.nz. I'd probably have to check that one. And then it's have your say and click on the submissions side.
And it's fairly straightforward, I assume.
Yep. Oh, yeah,
like all other submissions, it's here's the submission, here's what you want to say, here's what you want in or out. So you can type it in a couple of text boxes.
Yep. Yeah, there's two text boxes and the what is your name.
Yes. So we absolutely encourage everybody to do that. So, yeah, please put it in. Let your council know. Do what you can. Because this is going to start affecting a lot of people and I think a lot more people than we have unintended to be.
Yep.
So, yeah, watch this space. And we look be interesting to see when it actually comes into place, if it does, because I certainly know that if we have a change in government, we may have a change in where this policy sits.
Yes. I think they're pretty keen on knocking this one on the head as well as quite a few others.
Yes.
So that's a later problem.
Yes. Well, Daniel, that is all we have time for. We have spent our allotted time frame talking about these move-on orders, but... Alas, we can't talk about it anymore. We were getting the starry eye from the people in the studio to say we're running close to time, so we have to stop it there. But if anyone wants to contact us about this or any other issues facing people in homelessness or vulnerable living situations, how do they contact us again, Daniel?
So email on info@tenantsunion.org.nz or give us a phone, 0635 77 435, or 0800 250 022, or just stop by the office in 77 King Street, Palmerston North.
Always great for an adder. But that is all we have time for, everyone. So thank you all for listening. Stay safe, warm, dry, happy, healthy, and we look forward to hearing from you next time.
All the best.
If you enjoy this NPR podcast, please consider subscribing. Our podcasts are available on all major podcasting platforms, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify, as well as the accessmedia.nz app. Support this show and others like it by giving a donation. For more information, go to www.npr.nz/donate.